This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% every time you use the code FIT10. Throw that in the comment section at checkout. Save 10% on every order. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 88. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we are back this week after a week off from me being sick. I'm still a little sick, but we're back this week. And first off, to everyone out there who is celebrating Easter this week, happy Easter. And I hope you're enjoying, or you enjoyed Easter, I guess, because this is not going to be out till Sunday. So
I hope everybody had a good Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that too. That too. And happy March Madness, because that is...
Yeah, how are your brackets doing, Kev?
I don't fill out a bracket because I don't really know much about college basketball. I don't follow it that much, but my Celtics are doing fantastic, thank you.
I actually filled out two. I don't know if that's... I'm lacking integrity filling out two, and they slightly different alterations to both. Like, one I have Pitt going to the Final Four, another one I don't.
So are these for, like, for money?
Yeah. One's for my sister's company, and one's in my uncle's company that I'm doing them. So, nice. Yeah. I'm still alive in the later round, so I took a couple hits the past couple days that I did not need to take.
Did you have Duke winning last night or two nights ago?
Did Duke lose today?
No, but they just barely pulled it out two nights ago.
Oh, they barely pulled it out? Oh, you don't know if they won today?
No, but with the magic of the internet, I can check, and people will already know the score. But
yeah, well, because I have them losing to Xavier in the next round, and Xavier's only up by three at halftime. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
but that's what I'm gonna get.
Duke did lose. Holy crap!
Did they? Good.
Wow,
so
they lost to is that Western Virginia?
They lost to West Virginia. Yeah, who's actually good?
Wow.
But yeah, that way. I don't care who wins the NCAA tournament as long as Duke doesn't win. Like, I'm upset that UConn lost. Like, I'll be honest. Like,
yeah.
I was a little upset. I was kicking things. You know, it wasn't pretty sight for a little bit. But, and I have Wisconsin in my Final Four, and they're up by 12 right now in Kansas State. So my Final Four is Carolina, Wisconsin, and I have Louisville beating Tennessee to play Carolina, in the Elite Eight. But it's Carolina, Wisconsin, and then it's Pitt. And UCLA.
Yep,
and I have UCLA and Carolina in the final with UCLA taking it. I mean, UCLA has been the back-to-back Final Fours. I just think it's their year.
I don't. I'm not a big Love fan, so I think he's kind of like...
I think he's good.
He's a great player. Sometimes I just don't like the way that people put themselves out there. Kind of like, I don't like J.J. Redick. I hate J.J. Redick.
Well, I hate J.J. Redick, but Kevin Love's kind of a cool guy. Like, he doesn't put himself out there too much, at least I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
well, again,
I don't know.
All I see is, like, SportsCenter highlights. I don't watch the games that much.
I was a little disappointed with the O.J. Mayo, Michael Beasley matchup. Like, they both end up scoring a lot of points, but they, like...
Oh, who won that game?
Wasn't, Kansas State won that.
Oh, wow.
They were playing Wisconsin now. And I was a little upset because even NCAA tournament, they showed you the games that are closest to your region. And that's the game I wanted to see. And I ended up seeing, like, I don't even know. I think it was the Pitt game.
Those two guys could definitely be in the top three, picks in the NBA draft.
Yeah, but that's what sucks about college basketball now. It's like you get these guys like
that's
Kansas
why I
State,
don't watch they're... it, man. I don't watch it because there's going to be a guy there for like 1 year and he's going to leave. So what's the point in me rooting for him?
I love college basketball and I think it's substantially better than NBA basketball. But the thing is, like, Kansas State has like four freshmen. They're starting. They're playing good together. People are comparing them to the Fab Five. Like, I think they're going to lose today. But you know, so Michael Beasley leaves. You have three freshmen that are not really touted. You know, it's like it's like when Carmelo Anthony won the national title with Syracuse. He was a freshman. Jerry McNamara was a freshman. Melo went to the NBA. McNamara stayed all 4 years. You know, it's like that takes a lot out of college basketball. You have O.J. Mayo, Michael Beasley. You know, like even last year, the Ohio State team that went to the national title, Connolly and Greg Oden went to the pros. Like if they had stayed in college, they would have been dominating. You know, can you imagine Kobe Bryant, you know, staying 4 years in college?
Well, I think like, Oden wouldn't be playing, though.
What?
Oden wouldn't have played this year.
Oden wouldn't have because I don't know. I think this microfracture injury happened in his NBA training camp. like developmental thing.
In the summer league.
Summer league, yeah, there you go.
Well, yes, that's our NCAA basketball update. Yeah. And
you should have done one for the FitCast, Kev. That's what you should have done. Next year you're going to have to institute. You should have done one with everybody. I mean, because there's ways to do it. Like, I know people do it on Facebook. Could have done it and given people like a free audio or whatever. Like, I would give people a free copy of the Muscle Bible, whoever wanted it. I mean, it's been a good idea. That's all. Just throwing it out there.
We might be able to do something like that.
You know, maybe do it for the Sweet 16 or whatever, which is next week.
Oh, that means I got to put that. I don't know if I have time to put that together, but we'll see.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Just suggestion.
All right. Well, let's jump into some FitCast news really quickly. First off, our two-year anniversary is coming up soon. It's like next week, I think. It's either going to be next week or the week after that. And I'm in talks with Dr. John Berardi for coming back on the show. He comes on pretty much once a year to talk about stuff. So I think it'd be a good time to get him back on to talk about the latest and greatest in nutrition and performance. So.
It's going to be cool. It'll be cool. This week, VidCon Expo is coming up here, Kev, this week.
It is, the Ryan Lee online seminar thing.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good turnout.
Are you excited about that?
I don't think excited is a word, but I think it'll be cool. Like, I just think it's a good turnout. Like, I think it's like it gives people the ability to learn a lot, like literally from the comfort of their own home. And I just think the cool thing about that is that I think how they set it up, and I could be wrong here, is like they have like chat rooms for the presenters just to be in. Like, they try to mimic the interaction that goes on at live seminars, because you talk to a lot of people that go to seminars and they'll tell you that you know, a lot of the learning really happens, you know, in the hallway. I mean, you've been at seminars with me, Kev, where, you know, Mike Boyle has, you know, graciously given his time, you know, after he got off stage to talk to groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're going to try to mimic that as much as possible. Like, I think it'll be cool, you know, and worth a try, right? Like, I mean, I'll be speaking there, so I'm excited for it. I'm ready.
It's definitely interesting. I mean, it's something completely new that no one's really ever done before. I hope my mic levels are up okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, I'm just, all right, I got to turn them up a little bit. All right. So yeah, we got our 2-year anniversary coming up, and I mean, it's been a pretty crazy ride these last 2 years. Also, I'm in talks with like a former co-host that people might know called John Williams. I think we might do a segment. Expect like a 2-hour show.
He's a good cook, right, John Williams? Like, he cooks a lot.
He's awesome.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, he is. He cooked probably one of the greatest meals in my life. And that's on the quinoa chili, which you can find on the Video FitCast, one of them. It's on YouTube or on Google.
Oh, that'd be an awesome recipe. He did the cookbook with Berardi, right?
Yeah, he did the precision gourmet nutrition.
I actually just got a sick recipe for low carb chocolate chip cookies. Excited to try them.
Where'd you get this? Like, from a magazine or?
I got places. I got places to get stuff.
You want to share this with the audience?
What, the recipe?
Yeah.
I can share the recipe. You know what? I'll write the recipe in an article and put it in. It'll be on the fitcast.com by Tuesday. How about that?
All right, sounds good. But coming up in the show, we do have an abnormally large mailbag because we had last week off, so we got a ton of questions. And also, Jimmy has two studies for us that we're gonna go over quickly.
You want to do them now?
Do you want to do them now?
Oh, sure. Let me just pop them open in front of me. Right here. Here's one.
It's a very laid-back. I just want to let everyone know it's a very laid-back episode. I'm very sleep-deprived today.
Yeah, Kevin learned what it was like to be 21. And
I got 1 hour of freaking sleep last night. I don't know how people survive on that, but...
Well, Kevin, you definitely squashed the rumors that I thought you didn't like women. So at least that's cool. So I'm not scared anymore. This first one's actually talking about unstable.
This is
going to
be a great show.
So a lot of people will have unstable training in their training of their clients because they'll say that it, you know, increases muscle activation and some supporting muscles, and that might be true to a certain extent. And there are times I agree with it and believe with it, and there's times I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But a study that came out in the International Journal of Sports Physiology Performance showed that while you do get the other enhanced neuromuscular recruitment and control, but it's less effective than stable surfaces for generating force and gaining strength.
Yep.
Look at Australian researchers showed that squatting on unstable surfaces caused a progressive breakdown in technique with repeated repetitions. They took young men and they made them do 3 repetitions of a squat on a stable surface, a foam surface, or a BOSU ball. and they measured force generating capacity and squat depth, and they found it decreased progressively as the surface became less stable, which I think is pretty interesting, because a lot of people talk about how squats aren't safe and that, you know, make them more functional on a stable surface, but, you know, squats are safe and effective as long as we have, you know, proper form, right? I mean, that's the number one thing why most people say squats hurt their back, because they're, you know, making it a good morning. But the study basically showed that squatting on unstable surfaces can cause, like, technique breakdown, which would actually result in more potential injury. Now, obviously, you have to say, because I think in the fitness industry, we have to, you know, this is a Mike Boyle thing. Well, who's the client? What am I training them for? What are his goals? What are his injuries, right? We have to look at all four of those things. There's nothing more that I hate that when, like, I'll hire a new trainer, or I'll talk to a new trainer, or I'll read something online where someone proclaims everything the be-all. Like, I think now, especially, like, bodies are just changing rapidly. And I know people may, like, they, you know, raise an eyebrow when I say that, but people are working at computers more than they ever did. People are working on laptops at home more than they ever did. Mm. Just people's lives are different now than they were 5 years ago. I mean, you can just look at, like, physiques of the gym. Like, people are fatter now. People don't have as much muscle mass. Things are always changing, and that's why we obviously always have to learn. And I think I use a ton of unstable stuff, but that's when I'm working with people with ACL injuries, obviously not, you know, right out of surgery, but people with hip injuries, people with low back injuries. You know, I'm using unstable stuff, but it's for a certain goal. You know, I may use that with somebody as a second or third exercise, but you know what? If they're healthy enough, they're going to squat and they're going to deadlift, and I'm going to increase, you know, their strength and their power. But just kind of be interested in what you have to say about that too, Kev, about that study.
Well, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. That's something I would have, if someone asked me that question, I would have said the same thing. But it's nice that we have the research that backs it up. And I apologize if I zone out a little bit. I'm kind of like zoning out a little bit.
Well, I just think that, like,
it makes sense. That, don't you think it's just like, it sounds like common sense?
Like, it does sound like common sense.
You can't have as much force production on an unstable surface.
Yeah, it does make sense, Kev. You're educated in this, and when I say that, I mean that, you know, and I have this all the time, like, with people that I work with. I'll come home and I'll be amazed, because, like, I'll hear about how I'll go in and we'll hire a new trainer, and they'll say, oh, you know, I still make my clients do slow intensity cardio, and people will look at them and, like, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
And we just lost Jimmy. I'm gonna follow up on that thought. And, like, Jimmy was saying, Jimmy still has a really bad internet connection. He's still stealing it from his neighbors. We're gonna try to fix that. But when you have someone that's like, it's still a lot of the trainers that I have here at the school that have clients are even like people that are still training. They still do the same thing. They go on, like, Bosu balls on one leg, and they're doing shoulder presses with, like, a curl. Like, it's like just not making any sense whatsoever in terms of really what they're getting out of it. Are they trying to get, you know, more core stability where they could actually be doing other core stability work? Let's see if we can get Jimmy back in on this. What's up, Jimmy? I kept talking, so hopefully...
Oh, did you? Because, like, I totally got cut off on that.
Yeah, I just started talking about how, like, I've seen trainers here that it's still, like, the thing to do to be on a Bosu ball on one leg doing a shoulder press with a curl because they're trying to quote-unquote work their core as well, so...
Right. And, I mean, I just think that people would be scared, people that take the time to educate themselves and learn, because you don't know what the common gym trainer or the common person in the gym who's working out, what they know or what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And so, like, a lot of times, like, I'll shake my head and then I'll stop myself and think about it, you know, so it's actually kind of scary, you know, when you look at it. But a lot of people do still think that, you know, you only have to do Bosu stuff. You know, like, somebody the other day was showing me how, you know, a high level of a certain, you know, strength coach, physical therapist certification program, the top level, movement that they were doing with a couple of their, you know, MMA fighters. And I totally scratched my head, you know, at that movement, but it's still... You know, they're still zealots of everything, is basically what I'm trying to say. And, I mean, it's not all right. It's not all wrong. It's just, I think you have to pick and choose your battle. So, do you want me to go on with the second study now?
Well, I was actually going to quickly mention that I'm doing my senior thesis project right now on, and I'm just starting to dive into the studies for that. And it's a subject that, I mean, if I want to know if people are interested, and I'll bring them up on later episodes, but just the correlation between the rising popularity in video games and childhood obesity, and also the fact that we can also use those that same outlet in terms of reducing childhood obesity and how to utilize that for the benefit. I don't know if people would be interested in me talking about that at all. If you are, like, just let me know and I can talk about it on the show, but I don't want to, like, bore people with stuff like that where it's kind of like an odd topic, but I kind of wanted to do something different.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Everyone else is doing, like, obesity, and I got some other kid to do EPOC, and I'm like, I just gave him my EPOC paper from last year.
I think that's cool.
It's all right. I mean, I got to write 10 pages on it tomorrow, so.
Right.
Spring break is ending.
Oh, you're already on spring break?
Yeah, it's going to be over, obviously, this weekend, but.
Oh, huh.
And you know, we never talked about the Boston Celtics, how incredibly good they are right now. And you gotta give them some respect, son.
Well, first of all, don't call me son. I'm 4 years older than you. Second of all, they're doing good. I mean, it was a smart pickup to get Sam Cassell.
And PJ Brown.
They got PJ Brown.
PJ's been playing pretty well. That 10 to 15 minutes he plays a game, he plays pretty well.
I don't know. I still don't think the Celtics should beat anybody out west.
Oh, they just swept all the teams in Texas, baby. Like, what?
I don't care about that. That doesn't matter. This is a regular season, dude. I mean, look at college basketball, you know? I mean, playoffs matter, dude. Like, regular season doesn't matter.
I apologize to everyone for bringing this up.
Yeah, let's go back to the studies.
Going.
How about that, Kev?
Keep going.
This one comes from, actually, Nutrition and Metabolism, and it was published online. It talks about HMB. Now, HMB is a supplement that a lot of people... It was very popular about 10 years ago. It was,
dude,
like,
I got some of that. I got a full bottle that's unopened right here.
Yeah, it's actually making a comeback.
Do you want to let people know that that stands for beta hydroxy beta methyl butyrate?
There you go. That's good.
So yeah. Keep going.
But this basically looked at research in the United States and Finland from Wilson and Wilson, actually. They included the effects of HMB depend on factors such as age, training experience, metabolic status, and dosage. You know, so this was they looked at kind of it was a meta-analysis, which means they looked at a lot of studies, and certain studies found that HMB prevented muscle protein breakdown, stimulated muscle growth, and promoted fat breakdown. Mm-hmm. And this is what they did, a meta-analysis of 250 supplements, and found that only creatine and HMB produced consistent increases in lean mass and strength. The doses they looked at was 3 grams HMB per day, which resulted in average increases of about 0.28% per week in lean mass and 1.4% per week in strength. They also found that HMB had a positive effect on muscle soreness, increased strength in elderly, and prevented muscle loss in people with AIDS. I mean, I know, again, it's not the target market, but just bear with me. Mm-hmm. But then also now certain studies found HMB has no beneficial effects. So here's what I would say about that. I mean, and obviously there's responders and non-responders for every supplement. HMB was all the hype recently, not recently, like 5-10 years ago. Like, I think it has a place, you know, but like now it's making a comeback. I know there's a supplement called either Juno or Juni or Juven. It's actually called Juven. And it's like a pharmaceutical company makes it. It's like 7 grams of arginine per serving, like 5 grams of HMB per serving. So they're going a little higher. And I think with HMB, it is an effective supplement. You know, especially for preventing muscle breakdown, increasing muscle size. But I think you have to take a lot more. I think I think EAS was the first company to bring it to the market. And, you know, they were telling you like 3 or 2 grams. And I think it's one of those supplements to see a bodybuilding physique effect. You'd have to take, you know, more than you know, what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something it's starting to get more and more attention. You know, I mean, you know, new supplements come to the market at the same time that they bring back old supplements. So
well, so now do you feel differently? Because I know we talked about this. Like, I got this stuff for like half off from like Discount Anabolics when they had it. They had like the half off sale. Got like six or seven months. Like this is last summer, I guess. And you told me that it probably wasn't worth taking. Did you feel differently now?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, it's just because I'm, you know, reading more research about HMB recently and all that. I mean, I would take it, but again, like I think it just has to be something you have to take more of. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's just my opinion on that. Like I mean,
so what would be your general recommendation for the listeners? Would you say is this something that's worth investing some money in, or save your money for some other stuff?
That's a tough question. I mean, I personally would probably take it now. But again, like they said in the study, it depends on age, gender, training age, metabolic conditioning. You know, like if you need to lose some weight, is it going to do anything for you? I don't think so. You know, like I think a lot of it really depends on a couple factors. Like if you're trained, are a decent body fat, have a decent amount of muscle mass, I'd probably say go for it, you know.
All right. Sounds good. Voice cracked. I apologize. All right. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be right back with the largest mailbag you've ever seen, ever. Be right back. This week's mailbag. The first question is aimed at Jimmy, and it comes from Dale. He says, "I'm 5'9 and at a standstill. I can muscle my jump to the rim and hang on to it. With a running approach, I can almost touch the rim. I'm assuming my reactive strength has a lot of room for improvement. With that said, I probably need a good 6 to 7 inches on my vertical jump to achieve a decent dunk. Given that, I diligently train with plyometrics and improve my running approach / technique. Are the 6 inches that I need a lot to ask for from plyometric training? In other words, are 6 to 7 inch gains from plyometric training realistic? If this helps, I've never really done any plyometric specific training before, and my one rep max squat was 405 pounds. But I haven't tested for that recently. Aside from Kelly Baggett's vertical jump book, are there any other vertical jump related books that I should read?" And Jimmy, I did my whole, you know, like introduction to plyometric training was a little book called Air Alert.
Yeah, that was mine too.
And if it sounds like this guy's been doing plyometric training already and he wants to get 6 to 7 more inches, like I feel like when people first jump into plyometric training, they get great gains in terms of vertical leap in those first couple weeks, but then it kind of plateaus.
Yeah, I think like you have to look at define your plyometric training. Like, are you talking about Air Alert, or mine was jump soles actually. You know, are you talking about Air Alert? Yep. Or you're talking about jump soles like that type of training, because that's not. You don't do a ton of bounding, from what I remember.
Did they still sell those jump, the jump sole things that like strap to your shoe?
Yeah, I think so. I think they do.
Wow.
Because those are the ones I wore. Those things are god heavy. Yeah. It helped my vertical. It didn't. I mean, wasn't helping me too much. You know. Well, I think he's focusing now. He says he does have a 405 one arm squat, so that means he is focusing on some strength work. But from the sound of the email, and Dale, feel free to email us back after this if you have a follow-up question, but it sounds like he's focusing too much on plyos. Because I see that a ton of times with basketball players that I work with, and I mean, I know from my own personal experience, I focus on a lot of plyos. I didn't train heavy enough. You know, he talks about a 1RM squat. What type of squat is that? Is that an Olympic squat, a la bodybuilder squat, or is it, you know, powerlifting squat, where he's going into a little more hip extension and getting his glutes and hamstrings to go a little bit more, because that's going to make a big difference. You know, where's your deadlift at? I mean, I personally had more success with my vertical jump when I've deadlifted frequently, more frequently than I've squatted. I mean, that's just me. I've seen in some athletes I've coached with, I've seen some guys have more success in a squat. I think he also has to look at how much plyometric stuff is he doing. Again, we talked about he's probably training plyometrically too much, but in terms of recovery, plyometrics are very, very physically demanding. I know like a lot of the Russian research, which everybody goes through for plyometrics, and I believe I even saw it on Mike Boyle talk about it on Functional Strength Coach 2, that he limits his, well, when it came out, he limits his athletes to, you know, 25 toe touches in plyometric sessions per day. And that's really not a lot when you think about it. With your plyo work, because plyo work is very, very central nervous system demanding and central nervous system fatiguing. So in terms of books, again, I only got into reading about vertical jump stuff, you know, as I got into this as a career, not as a basketball player. Like, I wish I had picked up, I don't even know if it was out yet, but I have Joe DeFranco's vertical jump. I believe it was Joe DeFranco and Martin Rooney when they worked together. That's a very good resource. And it's not a very expensive book. You know, you can get through it in you know, an hour.
Have
you
read Kelly Baggett's stuff, his vertical jump?
I have. I've read Kelly Baggett's vertical jump book. Like, I think it's a good book. Kelly talks. Yeah, Joe DeFranco's book is definitely good. Joe DeFranco and Martin Rooney's book, actually. is very good to pick up. And it has a ton of very usable information in there that you can use. And Joe even goes over some of the techniques he uses with guys in NFL Combine. So from an athletic performance standpoint, it's very good. I wrote a report. It's like a 15-page report that I know Ryan Lee gave away with Workout Pass. I look at the like the factors that limit a vertical jump, like from mobility and movement performance, you know, like what's going on at our calves, at our ankles, what's going on at our hips, and, you know, maybe we'll make that available, all the FitCast listeners. Well, we will make that available, you know, either this week through your page or through your website or through my website. I show pictures of it, you know, it's just from a pure movement perspective. So I think obviously the three things I would tell them to focus on is activation, mobility work, like what's going on with your hips, what's going on with your glutes. You know, do you get the shoulder extension you need? Because even, you know, in the context of a game, I'm not even just talking testing your vertical jump. When you're jumping to the rim, you have to have a certain amount of shoulder extension and shoulder mobility. I would tell you to try to focus more on getting your glutes and hamstrings strong with, you know, deadlifts, stiff leg deadlifts, good morning, those variations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep working at it, but pull back your plyometric volume, because sometimes it is too much, you know. And it's funny because everybody I played with who had fantastic vertical leaps, they all just, you know, like they didn't really train them. I mean,
they just had
For me, I had to train them, you know. And don't neglect the upper body. A lot of times I see that with a lot of guys I train too,
yeah.
Whether they're football players or basketball players, their upper body is so weak. Like just getting them strong at like a chin up really vastly improves upper body. So that's kind of my advice right there for you.
Very good. And again, Dale, feel free to email us back if you have a follow-up question. The next one comes from Matt Tuck, who is a relatively new listener. I think he had a question a couple weeks ago, but he says, "My name is Matt Tuck, and I'm a big fan of the show. My question has to do with fat loss. I've been on a ketogenic diet with a one-day carb up per week for about 3 months. The fat still seems to be at the same percentage, which is 12%, even though I've dropped calories. Should I skip the carb up or maybe do 2 clean carb ups per week? Also, what is the benefit of doing high intensity interval training after a resistance training session? Thanks for the help." And I think we'll attack that in 2 parts. First, the whole, you know, standstill of being on a ketogenic diet and still at 12% body fat.
Yeah, well, the first thing I tell you is get off a ketogenic diet. Not the ketogenic diet.
You're not a big fan, Jimmy. You're not a big fan.
I'm not a big fan. I am and I'm not. I'm not a big fan for someone who has a good amount of muscle mass and who's dieting, mm-hmm. being ketogenic, because I don't think you can retain muscle mass.
Yeah.
I'll probably get a hate phone call from Cassandra after she listens to that. But it obviously depends on the amount of muscle mass you have. So if you have a decent or good amount of muscle mass, or any muscle mass you don't want to lose, I would not stay on a keto diet for too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And also I think his problem is he's been on keto for too long.
3 months, like, I think, yeah, 3 months.
Yeah,
is
if you're on
time.
It for 3 months, and the thing is, even when I talk to, you know, top bodybuilding coaches that work with natural bodybuilders, so, you know, unless they're lying, there's no drugs involved, they don't even put their guys on keto diets initially. You know, 8 weeks into it, out of a 12 or 16-week dieting phase, they'll get into a keto diet, but before then, it's just a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
Because there are some subtle differences. So I just don't think a keto diet's going to be essential for him here. Like, I think if he wanted to go into ketosis for, like, 3 weeks, I think it'd be good. And this happened to me 2 years ago. I was at the leanest I was because I did go keto for a couple weeks. I lost a good amount of muscle mass.
Yeah.
And the thing is, no one factors in the protein that they take in. People know they have to take a lot of protein when they diet, but, you know, everybody tosses around the word gluconeogenesis on message boards all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think people really understand it. So if you're taking in all this protein and your carbs are low, you're going to have to – your body's going to then turn that protein into glucose. So when you have your carb up day back in and say you're shooting for 300 carbs that day or 400 carbs, you still have all that excess protein still floating around that's going to get converted to glucose too. So instead of having those 300 carbs, you're going to have more around 400, 450 because you have this excess protein coming in. I just think for a natural person, keto diets are not the best, especially for that period of time. Like, I understand the need to really get lean, but if the fat's at 12%, then we know there's some issues going on. If you're dieting for too long, your thyroid's going to shut down.
Yep.
And that's going to have a whole effect of issues too. So I would just tell you there's a reason you're stuck at 12%. You know, you're stuck at 12% because you're probably training too hard. You're not eating a lot. I mean, honestly.
And especially on a ketogenic diet, you're not necessarily supposed to be cutting your calories too low. You've got to be making sure you're still getting plenty of calories in.
Right. And I think the thing that, and again, people are probably going to hate me for saying this too. Like, if you're training hard and like, I don't, me personally, now I'm getting my abs coming back in. I'm nowhere near where I need to be at the body fat percentage. And I really don't do cardio. All I've done is 2 weeks, two nights of basketball. Now that's over. You know, it ended last week.
Did you get
so now
what?
I have to, we won, well, one league ends next week, but I actually have to fly out to Arizona, so I won't be there. But the other league, we won. We went 11-0. We had 2 games that night, semifinals and finals, so
cool.
Pretty much wiped up that league. But anyway.
Good job.
I haven't done a lot of cardio, so I can get relatively lean. Now, when I want to take it to the next level, I have to do cardio. And a lot of times people focus on women with this, and they say that, you know, women diet, what do? They don't eat, they work out too much, they do too much cardio. Well, it's the same thing for guys, and I think that's what you're doing, Matt. And you have anything to add to that, Kev, before we take the second part of it?
No, I mean, I just going through my own experience of a ketogenic diet, one thing you're going to notice I know what Cassandra's talked about, but like it's just like if you're afraid of losing muscle mass, like I'd say, you know, go the slower approach, go to the 1 to 2 pound a week approach, and just play it safe. You know, just go with a lower carb diet, but make sure you're able to maintain as much muscle mass as humanly possible. Make sure you're getting in branched-chain amino acids, have good workout nutrition, and you just got to make sure you have all the bases covered, or you're gonna be like, you know, like wasting those gains that you made, that you worked so hard for. I'm guessing you might have gone on a quote unquote bulk over the winter time, like many guys do, and now you're trying to lean up for the summer. I mean, it right now it's March 22nd when we're recording this, and you still have a good, well, I guess maybe depending on where you are in the country, like 8 weeks till beach season. That's time. You can lose 20 pounds in 8 weeks if you bust your ass.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that goes back to what I did there, is I dieted hard for about two months, month and a half, and now I'm slowly adding carbs back in. Like, I'm doing some inter-workout strategies with carbs and things like that. So I know now in May, you know, when it's warm out and I can go to the track after my workout and do my high-intensity cardio, things are going to change. My body's going to change. But you're right. Like, I think people overestimate the loss of muscle mass during dieting.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously more profound because you're not holding water in your muscles, okay? And you don't have this fullness that you have when you're not calorically restricted.
Yep.
So people will say they've lost a lot of excess muscle mass when they really haven't, or they've just lost a ton of water. But I do think the potential for losing muscle is pretty great on a ketogenic diet. Now, the second part, you know, he says, should I skip the carb up and maybe add 2 clean carb ups per week? And what, you know, yeah, I mean, I think you need to add more carbs back in.
I think we should just, like, agree, just, you know, go off the ketogenic diet.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think you should play around with it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Matt, if you want to ask more questions based on it, go ahead. But I just think with the clean carb ups, fine, add more carbs back in. But you're at such a stage now, Matt, where if you add calories back into your diet, not even taking carbs, just adding calories, overall calories back into your diet, you will grow and lose body fat, especially in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's happening to me right now. It's called the anabolic rebound, people refer to. The thing is that it's like, the best example is a bodybuilder that, you know, because if you look at amateur, you know, bodybuilders, because I'm into bodybuilding, is they'll do like 1 or 2 contests because to be natural and, you know, which a lot of people are at amateurs before they get the pro card or even, you know, whatever, taking that out, they'll train all year for muscular gains. And then the diet, they only do 1 or 2 shows a year. So they're not taking advantage. They're dieting, you have your insulin resistance is fantastic. You know, you have your, I'm trying to think of the term. I can't even, it's escaping my mind right now. But your insulin sensitivity is so great. You did a good job with your nutrient partitioning. They do the show. They diet hard for it. And then, you know, They go again into this whole prolonged period, and they never gain weight. They get their pro card, and it's not because, you know, they have some, now they got a you know, a special edition of Flex Magazine that nobody else gets.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. What happened is now you're doing multiple shows, you know, every couple months. So you're dieting hard. You're going through 12 weeks of hell. You're staying relatively lean, but then you have to add some more muscle. So you have, you know, a 4 or 6 week period of carb up where you're just, insulin's just shuttling the nutrients where you want into your muscle. You're not gaining a lot of body fat. And you're just looking bigger. And I think if Matt did that, even if he wants to be ready for June 1st on the beach, you know, if he went another 4 to 6 weeks of good, clean carb eating, you know, maybe a carb rotation diet, he would look fantastic. And then he went back to dieting in May, depending on where he is. I mean, 12% body fat is good. I mean, obviously he probably wants to get lower. He probably wants to get around, you know, 8, maybe even 10. That's achievable. He says to diet hard, but if you try to diet hard for too long, you end up screwing yourself. Mm-hmm. You know.
And that's a good point. I think we should wrap up that question there. We're gonna just quickly mention our sponsors since we have some time. First off, Greg Ballantyne and TurboOnsTraining.com boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurboOnsTraining.com. BlackStarLabs.com. I'm thinking that if you still use that code FIT15, throw that in the comment section. We'll see if they'll still let you get the 15% off. Otherwise, you'll get 10% off on your order, no matter how big it or how small that order is, at BlackStarLabs.com. And I just got my new shipment of Casein Pro 2.0. And like I said last week on the show, or 2 weeks ago, that stuff is like, it's the best tasting chocolate protein I've ever had in my life. And I know they have other flavors too, but I'm kind of addicted to the chocolate flavored stuff. Jimmy, I'm going to have to send you some because you got to try this stuff out.
Send me some.
I'll send you a tub this week. And also we have Mike Robertson and RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. So again, make sure to check that out. And you guys, like I said, Blackstar Labs, like, they're my favorite supplement company right now. And even if they weren't sponsoring the show, I'd still talk about them. Like we talked about Greens Plus, even when they weren't sponsoring the show, still think it's a great product. So, and it, of course, tastes like shit, and it's a great product that shouldn't be mixed with anything, quote Alan Cosgrove.
Yeah, you're trying to save face through multiple aspects there, bud.
A little bit. All right, so the next question comes from Stephen from Dumbarton, Scotland. I hope I got that right.
I'm sure you didn't.
Probably not. Just recently discovered the FitCast, and I'm enjoying working my way through the extensive back catalog of episodes. And yes, guys, I got to mention, this is episode 88. We got a ton of old episodes that you can check out. I mean, it's not like the content's that old. It's at max 2 years old, and it's all of it is very relevant. The industry hasn't really changed too much in 2 years. But he says, I was wanting to determine if you've ever discussed an ideal weight training and nutritional plan to supplement mixed martial arts Muay Thai fighter practitioner. Hearing you guys discussing this topic would be excellent, and given the current boom in MMA worldwide, a worthy addition to your show. Cheers and all the best. Well, I know we had Alan Cosgrove come on a couple times, and I'm pretty sure every time he came on the show, we talked about mixed martial arts training. I don't think we've talked about mixed martial arts nutrition.
No, we have not, actually.
So maybe, I think that might be something. I'm going to write that down. I think that's something we can ask John Berardi. I'm sure he will definitely have an outlook on that. And if you want, Steven, shoot me another email if you have a question that you want to ask John about that. And I'm sure he can definitely give you a good idea on what to check out. And also, if you haven't, like I said already, check out the episodes that we've done with Alan Cosgrove, because he has lots of experience with mixed martial arts, and he also has a couple manuals on mixed martial arts training that you should check out. You can pick that stuff up at alancosgrove.com. So he's got some good stuff. Next question comes from Jimmy. Do you want to ask the next question or read it?
Do you want me to? Sure.
From James.
This comes from James from the UK. Hi, guys. Love the show.
You don't want to do it in a British accent?
No, I can't do it in a British accent. He says, hi guys, love the show. I need your advice on something. Hopefully in a couple of months, I'll be going to stay in China for a year to study Kung Fu. The area is quite rural, so I won't have access to any standard gym equipment. And the diet served will consist largely of white rice. No surprise right there, right?
Yeah.
And vegetables with a very limited amount of meat, eggs, and pretty much no dairy. I'll also be doing 4 to 6 hours of Kung Fu training, which I guess counts as cardio of varying intensity, 6 days per week. I'll be able to buy basic food like eggs, bread, fruit, and meat, but I'm not too keen on the idea of Chinese mystery meat. I agree with you there, James. Every now and then. But I think supplements are pretty much out of the question. Do you have any diet training tips on how I might limit muscle loss, and also whether there's anything I can do before I leave that would help?
Do you think he really has to worry about the white rice consumption if he's going to be doing 6 hours of
training? No, he doesn't have to worry
about
that. I think he's more concerned with the lack of protein.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing 4 to 6 hours of kung fu, white rice, eat it all you want. Again, he's a fighter, so he has to, and he's going to study kung fu, so it's not like he can, you know, balloon up and drop back down, so I'm not going to suggest that. Honestly, I really don't have any tips for you. Like, you say you can buy eggs, so I would definitely, you know, buy them as much as you can.
And I bet it can get organic eggs, too.
You probably can get organic eggs. I mean, I don't really know in terms of what you can have shipped to you, you know, like if you have internet access, you know, or if you can have, like a buddy or a family member ship you protein at regular intervals, you know, say, like, once a month, send you 2 tubs of stuff out or whatever.
And a great protein would be the Queso Pro 2.0 from BlackStarLabs.com.
Yeah.
Zing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, other than that, like, you know, it's kind of an unenviable position right there, you know?
Well, I think it's really cool that he's going to China for a year to study Kung Fu. Like, wow, that's pretty nuts.
Like, I think it's awesome. I mean, to go out there, let's put it this way. You don't just go out to China to study Kung Fu if you haven't done it before.
Oh, I know.
So I think it's awesome that you're going out there. I think you're going to learn a ton. But, you know, I would just tell you, you know, try not to be too concerned about it. See if you can have somebody ship you protein on a regular basis. And, you know, other than that, like, you know, if you're on an island like that, you know, do whatever they do on the island. You know, you're a kung fu fighter anyway. I know muscle mass is important, but, you know, if you have carbohydrates, which is a good thing, you know, they'll help, you know, retain, you know, muscle, and they'll spare your protein. So,
yeah, and I mean, obviously, you can always, I don't know if you speak Chinese or if you'll be able to have some kind of interpreter there where you can ask the other people that are training, see what they're doing, see where they're getting their food. Might be a good time to pick up some tips and let us know how it goes, James. I think it'd be really cool to get some regular updates from you just to see how the training's going. I find that really cool and really interesting. The next question comes from our good friend Hiroshi, which I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He says, I'll skip the usual pleasantries. He's emailed us quite a few times. So these are questions for both Kevin and Jimmy and whoever happens to be on the show, so I guess that's just us two. First off, we all read and heard about how shocks suck. What about shock absorption systems in general, like Nike Air? Should athletic shoes provide anything more than better traction? How do you feel, Jimmy?
We all heard about you. I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, should athletic shoes provide anything more than better traction? I think it's kind of a case of you just thinking kind of too much into it. Shock absorption systems in general, like I haven't felt any difference, you know, playing with a shoe that has this shock absorption system in it versus one that doesn't, you know, or that doesn't have, you know, the bubbles on the bottom. So
I think it just looks cool.
Yeah, it certainly looks cool, but I mean, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah, it's getting hard to find Nike Freeze right now, and I wouldn't. Right. I mean, if you can't find them, I wouldn't. I mean, we had a question about Nike Freeze a couple weeks ago, but if you can't find them, I wouldn't stress out about them too much. There's still obviously good options for shoes out there. So, also, he asked number two for basketball shoes. Should we be wearing low cuts or should we be wearing basketball shoes at all? What are you guys wearing? And I think he's talking about the whole issue with ankle mobility. So, Jimmy, this is right up your alley.
Actually, for basketball shoes, what I'm wearing and what I've been wearing is the T Max. The last year he was in Orlando,
the threes or the twos. The threes.
No, the ones were the one that had the like the black and like the purple, the purplish blue on them.
And you can zip them up, right?
No, you couldn't zip them up.
Oh.
You were thinking of were those the Pippins?
No, those are T-Mac 2s. No, I swear to God, even the T-Macs, they had the shoe, but then they had a thing you could put over the shoe, and you could zip it up like a...
Yeah, but those weren't the T-Macs. I had a pair of those. Oh, they were God. Not the T-Macs.
I am going to post pictures in the show notes and prove this shoe.
They might have been. I might be thinking of another shoe.
T-Mac
2s. Because I had a pair of shoe that you had to zip up. But, no, it's the T-Mac 2s, because that's like one of the last pair of basketball shoes I bought when I played in college, so in 04. I mean, and I'm actually for next, you know, next year's corporate basketball, I'm going to get a new pair. So I haven't been wearing any low-cut shoes. I actually, I know in, you know, the ankle paradox, I talked about how, we shouldn't have high ankle restriction, and I still don't think we should. But I would take more towards, you know, really high tops. The T-Mac 2s aren't that high, you know, and we definitely shouldn't be taping our ankles all the time and wearing big, heavy braces all the time. So they're about a mid-cut shoe. I'm not really a fan of low-cut shoe for basketball.
Oh, dude, like, they still sell T-Mac 3s on East Bay. They're $60.
Do they really?
Wow. Oh, my God. They got them in lots of colors, too.
They're good shoes. I mean, I don't care how much, you know, ankle work we do, how good our ankle mobility is, how much glute work we have. I don't like wearing low-cut shoes for basketball. I just think it sets up – it's a recipe for disaster. You know, I wouldn't go high clunking shoes like bricks, but I wouldn't go, you know, too low-cut ones either.
Yeah, if you guys want to get some T-Max, they got them at East Bay for $60, and they got them in very – I can't believe, dude, they're on T-Mac 6s. When I was in high school, when I graduated, they had T-Mac 3s, and those were like...
I think the 3s were when he went to Houston for the first time, because they're in Houston colors, right?
No, they still had them in like black, and they had them in blue. Oh, yeah, you're thinking about the 2s.
I have the 2s.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to get a new pair for next year, though.
I have a pair of basketball shoes that... They're the team shoes that we got in my junior year of high school, and they're Nike Air Max, like whatever they were at the time, and it is the best pair of basketball shoes that I've ever worn in my life. I tend to like really get like have a discomfort from shoes that I buy. I usually stick with Nikes just because like those feel right. Like I remember I used to have like DMXs. Is that what they were called? Like Reeboks? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But then there was rumors about the cushioning, having too much cushioning and it would mess up your knees. But that was back in high school, so I don't know much about that anymore. But yeah, I bought 4 pairs of those shoes, and I've still been using those shoes, that model shoe, ever since junior year of high school, and I love them. Still got 2 pairs left.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see the next question. Do you want to get the next one?
You want to read the next one?
I'll
read it.
Sure.
Hi there. Replying to the last show and splitting up fish oil throughout the day. Is that really necessary? And if so, what research is there to show it? It seems that it wouldn't make sense for it to be necessary to split up. For example, I do not use caps and take a tablespoon of liquid with my last meal. Could that be clarified? Aaron, I honestly don't know of any research, but let's just put it this way. Would you eat all your meals at one time during the course of the day? And I'm not saying this to be a jerk or anything. I just think that
that's the exact same thing I was going to say.
Yeah, like if you're going to – do you take all your supplements at the same time? I mean, most people don't. Do you drink – you know, so like I wouldn't – take, you know, let's just say someone's taking 8 grams of, or 6 grams of fish oil a day. I wouldn't take that all at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, like, what are you taking your fish oils for? You're taking them for, if you're taking them for just health, you know, overall health, fine. But if you're taking them for rate reduction or for how they affect insulin, you know, after a meal,
inflammation, you know, reduction.
Yeah, or inflammation reduction, like, that's a different story. So I haven't come across any research. I'm sure there's research out there about it, but, you know, take them throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, we got another question about fish oil that comes from a listener named Kevin. He says, "Hi, I recently listened to episode 87, and towards the end, you and Jimmy talked about your daily doses of fish oil. I think Jimmy said he was taking 12, quote, caps a day. I assume cap is short for capsule. Yes, it is. I was curious what the dosage of each cap is. For well over a year, I've been taking 2 1,000 milligram capsules a day, but recently double that, so I'm taking 2 in the morning and 2 at night right before bed. I'm wondering if this is enough," and he says thanks, and that, again, that's from Kevin. First thing, Kevin, I'm going to say that you got to – I understand that if it's a 1,000 milligram capsule, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to have – that 1,000 milligram capsule is going to have the same amount of EPA. God, I'm blanking my ass out. And I want to say EPA and DHA as like another 1,000 milligram capsule would have. I think it's pretty standard, though, that most caps per one, and this is general. I mean, this is what I've seen most of the time. It usually has 180 and 120 for EPA and DHA respectively. And I currently use – I have fish oil – by itself, and I also use Flame Out. So,
Yeah, I mean, my answer to that question is, so he's taking two in the morning and two at night. I wonder if this is enough. Well, if he's saying, I'm taking 2,000-milligram capsules, so that's 2 grams. Mm-hmm. But he recently doubles, he's taking 4 grams. A lot of the research I've seen shows you need at least 6 grams just for even the health benefits, you know, for like the cholesterol lowering, like the lipid benefits. So I would up that, you know, for fat loss. When I'm really trying to drop body fat, I'll take up to 12 grams a day. Obviously, you have to take, you know, vitamin E has to be in there, a little more vitamin E and things like that. But another interesting note is what I did with my fish oils last night for the first time is I did it with two brands. I cut them up and tasted the inside of my fish oil. And luckily for me, both brands actually tasted and smelled like fish. Because if it doesn't, then, you're taking junk. And the brands I took were BioTest. Obviously, they're Flame Out. And, you know, the Now brand, I cut both of them in the middle and tasted the fish oil and it tastes just like fish. So, I mean, that's what I would tell everybody to do. I mean, it'll cost you one fish oil cap in about 30 seconds of your life. But you need to know if you're taking 6 grams just for the health benefits, like you want to know what you're taking. Like you want to know the good stuff there. So, like that's what I did. And both brands, you know, came out on top in my test. So I would just tell everybody to do that. Do that, Kevla. I want to know about your fish oil. Well, you take Flame Out too, right?
Yeah, I just said that, yeah.
And so they go, well, I don't listen when you talk. So
fair enough. I kind of zoned out a couple times there on the show too. But yeah, I've been doing the Flame Out. I mean, I don't like take Flame Out regularly. Like if I got some extra bucks, I will go with and I order some stuff from BioTest sometime. Like I pick up their branched chain amino acids sometimes. And because they're so good with their marketing, I have to tend to get that $150 mark so I can get free shipping.
Well, yeah, I would just tell everybody to make sure that they cut their fish oil capsules open and just taste them.
Yeah.
And see how they taste like, because you want to make sure what you're taking. All right, Kev. Let's,
yeah, I also pick up the cheap stuff from Walmart, though.
Yeah, I'm not all down
with
that.
It's like Nature's. I think I have a bottle.
Yeah, no, I'm not down with that. That's not.
Sorry, Dad. I'll pick up the Now brand next time.
Damn right.
Last question for the week, and I forgot to get this person's name. Oh, it's from our friend from Switzerland, Sweden, I think. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Peter, for doing this. I should have.
You're damn right, you should have
written this down. So you know what? Jimmy's going to talk about something for a second while I just make
sure.
Well,
dude, I have a study in front of me. What are you talking about? I have a question in front of me.
All right, hold on. It's from Peter from Switzerland.
I currently train by myself at my local gym and find it hard to really push myself to improve on reps and weight on a regular basis. Any advice on keeping oneself motivated when training alone?
Just listening to Jimmy Smith give motivational speeches.
That's for cardio, dude. That's for cardio to get through cardio. I could never listen to myself or anybody talk. I tried one time to listen to Dana Schwartzbaum, who's like the leading expert on insulin resistance, talk, and it was during my workout, and like I was focused. It would be funny, like I'd focus on one thing she'd say 1 minute and like try to remember where she said it in terms of the context of the time and then try to work at it. It was an awful experience. When I do cardio, that's fine. I can listen to anybody talk. Honestly, to keep yourself motivated, first off, like why aren't you motivated to train? Like, do you wake up every day and not want to train? Like, are you in an overtrained state?
Yeah.
Are you tired? Have you been dieting for too long? I mean, there's a ton of factors that go into that. You know, I'll bring up adrenal fatigue, right? You know, did you have stuff like that? Are you, how do you feel? Like, that's the first thing. Assuming that's all good and you're just having a hard time improving and pushing yourself, first get over the fear of failure. I mean, because when I really first started training alone again, I was scared, you know, pushing big weight. And, you know, maybe change your gym. You know, like, I know when I go, there's like 4 or 5 people that really get after it. You know, they bench heavy, they squat heavy, people are posing in the mirror. That all makes me work harder.
That's true. And, I know that's so true. Like, especially like at college, if some women walk into the gym, I'm like, you better do this. You better pull this weight.
Oh, so Kevin's in there. Kevin's in there for the chicks.
You better not fart, because like if you fart when you're deadlifting, that's just suicide.
And the truth. But anyway, like,
and people know what we're talking about. People are like laughing right now. They're like,
I've actually never farted when I deadlifted. But I would just say to kind of get back to the question is that you have to look at, you need to consistently overload your muscle for growth, right? And you're stronger than you think you are. And that's a thing. So push the weight, you know, I mean, don't be scared. I'm not saying, you know, load up the bench press when you've never done the poundage and see what's, you know, I would just tell you,
and it only takes 2 seconds to ask someone to spot you.
Sure, sure. And like, I'm one of those people that hate asking people for a spot, so I don't do it really often.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but at the same time, you know, if you want to get the best out of it, you need to train hard. So that's my answer to that.
And also, I hope you got some music blasting, some nice motivational music, whether it's like some Kanye West or some Linkin Park, AC/DC. I mean, whatever you listen to, and you feel like I feel like I have a couple songs, like I have two or three songs on my iPod when I go to the gym that are my go-to songs. Like if I'm in that like last set of bench and I'm going the most weight that I've done so far, I'm going for like a new max, and I gotta get that song pumping, and I gotta start getting the head nodding, and that helps.
What's your current big song that you use, Kev?
Right now it's Kanye West, Good Time.
Oh really?
I mean,
you guys might laugh at me for it, but the new Madonna with Justin Timberlake.
Oh wow!
No, the beat is sick. Like, cause
Jimmy,
I'm a beat
Jimmy
person.
Questioned my manhood early in the show, and now we're talking about Madonna and Justin Timberlake.
You think I care?
I'd rather listen to Dick in a Box than listen to that.
Well, I'm happy. That's good for you. My whole point is that the beat of it is absolutely ridiculous. It's a sick beat. And I mean, it's the first, it went on my iPod today for the first time. Like, tomorrow it probably won't be, you know, because my playlist generally is made up of like Disturbed, NWA, Public Enemy, Jay-Z, Linkin Park, Fort Minor, which is Mike Shinoda's group from Linkin Park. It's usually made up of like that type of stuff. And then, you know, Big Motorhead, Time to Play the Game, Triple H's theme song.
Oh, God, that's such a good entrance music.
It is good. It's awesome. So like, that's usually like kind of what goes on, I like a Papa Roach, Last Resort. You know, I love POD. I have a ton of POD stuff. You know, but like when it's a new song that comes on with a hot beat, I'm not gonna hate on it, dude. I'm gonna put it up there and get after it. I mean, if I'm going for like, you know, if I have the 120s and I'm on the incline bench, I'm not gonna listen to that. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I decided to turn on my iPod. I mean, I have some like kind of, you know, it's kind of like
I have Flow Ride, Elevator, a sick beat too.
I think when Mike Robertson was on, we talked about this, and I said I have AFI, which is kind of like they have a good like, they have some good songs I can get.
Yeah, no, they're cool. They're cool. Like, I'm definitely a beat person.
Green Day,
old Green Day, not new Green Day.
You don't like new Green? You didn't like their latest CD, American Idiot?
No.
Wow, that was like the greatest CD of all time. Linkin Park, Bleed It Out. That was my go-to song. Like, I've listened to that when I was training at Eric's this summer. Like, that's a song I'd listen to before I got out of the car and walked into the gym. Like, that
Dude,
song will
no
get you
telling me that the Green Day's album was better than Linkin Park's first album.
What?
Linkin Park's first album, Hybrid Theory. Yeah. There's no way you're telling me that Green Day's album was better than that.
It was like, I think it was widely criticized as like one of the best albums of the of like so far in 2000, like the zeros
here. No way, dude. Then I'm gonna have to take it to another level and compare it to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
No, but I think what they did, that just, they, it was a rock and roll, it was like a orchestra, like it just went from one song to another.
I know it was like, good, like I heard it, I listened to it, but like, dude, Appetite for Destruction is a sick album, and I'll even put it out there, Thriller, best album of all time.
Oh,
I don't want to.
Fantastic album. I got that on my iPod.
No, like, the best album of all time. Like, A, sales wise, it's the best selling album of all time. I think the Beatles' like greatest hit beat it out, but that doesn't count. It's greatest hit.
I also have Muse on my iPod. Muse, MUSC. They have a couple good songs like Starlight, that used to be my go to song like in the fall, but it gets.
Oh yeah.
And 50 Cent, like you can never, like if you're like listening to like 21 Questions, like that's a great song to get going.
It's a thing for a chick, dude.
21 Questions?
Yeah, can I ask you 21 questions? Are you my soulmate? Because if so, girl, you're a blessing. How are you going to listen to that when you're friggin'? And I just rapped on the show. But
awesome.
Gonna...
Also, like Vampire Weekend, A-Punk. Like, that's the only good song in the CD.
Oh, see, I'm not into all like that punk stuff. Like,
it's called A-Punk. It's not like a punk song. It's just like, it's like 2 minutes long. It's really short.
I'm a big I Get Money remix with P. Diddy and Jay-Z.
I know you're a big fan of you're a big Kimberly Clarkson fan, right? You sent that to me in an email.
First of all, it's Kelly Clarkson. Okay?
Oh, whatever.
Second of all, she was fine back in the day, dude. Like, I haven't seen a picture of her lately, but the girl looked good back in the day.
Also, Incubus. Incubus has a couple good songs that can get you going. I only like Anvil, their songs, but
Incubus.
God, it's always good to like talk about music because I'm always looking for new music to.
No, I'm a good music person. Like I've been listening to Public Enemy a lot recently. Like their old stuff. My good friend Keith
Scott.
Yeah, I gotta
get some of that.
Former co-host is a huge Public Enemy fan.
He's like their biggest fan. Jason Frusia.
Public Enemy. Keith is a huge Public Enemy fan. I'm more of a Guns N' Roses fan, I'd have to say, than Public Enemy, but to each their own.
Yeah, and
dude, if I could be any rocker, yeah, I would have been Axl Rose first, Bret Michaels second. Just putting it out there.
All right. Also, All American Rejects. It's all this like poppy crap rock music that I.
Yeah, dude.
It just gets me going.
Fun of a song with a hot beat, and you're.
Sorry, this not like I have a lot of trouble with rap. Like I only like Kanye West and like 50 Cent. Like those are only two people I like for rap. Like
I'm not a Kanye person. Like I like his Champion off his new album,
you're
probably way
song.
Too young for that. You don't know anything about that.
About the song Champion.
Yeah.
You mean what it's about?
Yeah, you're way too young.
I don't know. I don't know what it's about.
Just way too over your head, dude. You're gonna hurt yourself.
You're so much older and mature than me, Jimmy.
Well, dude, Fort Minor, their album is good too. You're way too young for the Rising Tide.
Yes, I don't know who that is.
What's the name of their album? But anyway.
Okay.
All right, I think we've babbled enough for the day.
Yep.
I have to go eat. Yeah, I'm hungry.
It's 7 p.m. and I want to go to bed.
It's because Kevin, you know.
Let's not.
You should play that music.
No.
You should give him Keith Sweat or some R. Kelly. I don't see nothing wrong in the background right now for you.
I really want to edit this part out, but.
People want to know what's going on in your life, Kev. I mean.
I'm editing that part out.
Oh, dude, you suck.
I don't bring up your personal life on the show.
Because I don't tell you about my personal life. How about that?
Why didn't go in depth, Jimmy? I just said.
Dude, you're such a little girl.
Coming up on the 2-year anniversary, this is how the FitCast has evolved. It has turned into bickering.
I'm happy you've got yourself a girlfriend, you know what I mean?
I didn't say I had a girlfriend. Oh, God. I'm editing this part out. I'm right. This is.
Oh, dude. You're not cool.
Okay.
Right. The show. We're talking too much. We're blabbing now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, everyone, for how this show turned out this week. Hopefully, you had some good information for the first 40 minutes of the show. So, for episode number 88, and again, please send in your questions to questions@thefitcast.com for the mailbag. Also, you can just send them to kevin@thefitcast.com. Jimmy loves getting emails at jimmy@jimmysmithtraining.com, and you can also check out his website, jimmysmithtraining.com, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com.
Yeah, baby.
And that's it, folks. And again, thanks for joining us, and thanks for putting up with us for this week and my drowsy ass. So, for episode number 88, I'm Kevin Larby.
Jimmy Smith.
And until next week, we're going to rock out with some Good Life from Kanye West. Only 15 seconds, though, or we'll get sued. We'll see you next time.